Whenever these valuation dislocations occur, they can present opportunities for REIT investors. And so historically, when we've seen these major public and private valuation divergences, we see that REIT total returns have tended to bounce and even surge.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borks from Quito. I'm joined today by my colleague, Ed Piazak, Nareit's Senior Vice President for Research, to discuss some of the key findings that Nareit has compiled in its 2023 mid-year outlook. Ed, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I hope that you're enjoying your summer.
Thank you. So let's start by talking about the overall picture that you're seeing for REITs and commercial real estate at mid-year and what factors are shaping your perspective.
Yeah, so when we take a look at the state of the real estate market, we really see two major factors at play. First, there's the divergence in public and private real estate valuations, and we're also seeing challenges in the capital markets, particularly around refinancing. So today, you know, borrowers are really facing higher interest rates, tougher underwriting standards, and some are even having issues getting debt at all. And then you kind of add in the divergence in public and private real estate valuations, it's just a further complication to the underwriting process. So we really see a lot of real estate investors, they're in a bit of a pickle. You know, some are facing negative leverage on their investments. Others can't refinance their loans at par. So, you know, REITs aren't immune from the mortgage market turmoil, but they're pretty well insulated from it. And when we take a look at REIT balance sheets, we really see that they're solid. They have low leverage ratios, and they predominantly use unsecured fixed-rate long-term debt. You know, when we take a look at our Nareit T-Tracker, and our T-Tracker really follows quarterly REIT operational performance as well as balance sheet metrics. And the latest data we have is as of the first quarter of 2023. Our next version will be out mid-August. But when we take a look at balance sheet data, we really see that REITs learned some lessons from the great financial crisis. On average, their leverage ratios are low. They're below 34%. And that's a level that's really kind of akin to a core strategy in the private real estate world. Weighted average term to maturity is nearly 7 years. Their weighted average interest rate is 3.9%. And that's a level just below the current 10-year treasury. And then when we take a look at fixed rate debt, you know, really the vast majority is fixed rate. It's at 87%. And lastly, the unsecured debt is at 76%. And this unsecured debt and the access to it has really provided REITs with a competitive advantage over many of their private real estate counterparts. And so today we see that REITs are really well prepared to navigate the ongoing economic and capital market uncertainty.
Great. And the divergence between REIT and private real estate valuations has been a persistent theme lately. Are we any closer to seeing that gap close? And what does that mean for REIT investors?
When we talk about divergence, we really see that REITs have experienced two different types. First, we've had a divergence between REIT prices and their operational performance. And second, we've had a divergence in valuations that we've mentioned before. And even though REIT values have dropped, we see that REIT operational performance has been solid. And again, taking a look at our data from Nareit's T-Tracker, we see that year-over-year FFO growth is roughly 5.3%. And then when we look at same-store NOI growth on a year-over-year basis, it's been 7.2%. So we could see that REIT operations have been keeping up with inflation. But, you know, with valuations, what we end up seeing is that rising interest rates have caused challenges for real estate. And we see this in cap rates. And what one of the important things to note is that cap rates and interest rates, they don't move in lockstep with one another. And so that said, when we take a look at the REIT implied cap rate, we see that it had a meaningful reaction to the surge in the 10-year treasury yield. But on the other hand, when we take a look at the private market response, it's really been much more muted. And the result has been a divergence in valuations. And we saw this price gap really reach its peak in the latter half of 2022. So good news is that this gap has been closing. If we take a look at the gap between the REIT implied and the private transaction cap rates, it's been narrowing. And so this tells us that progress is being made. However, when we take a look at transaction properties, they're just a sliver of total capital. And the bad news is that the gap between REIT implied and appraisal cap rates, that's still pretty wide. and appraised properties really represent the bulk of capital in the marketplace. So this tells us that we're likely going to see more material write-downs for private real estate. And so as we just take a look at the overall process, we see that the valuation adjustment process has been making progress, but those wheels of progress have been turning slowly. It's important to end on a note that's maybe a little more optimistic and maybe not so grim. It's that whenever these valuation dislocations occur, they can present opportunities for REIT investors. And so historically, when we've seen these major public and private valuation divergences, we see that REIT total returns have tended to bounce and even surge. So again, this presents an opportunity for investors today.
Ed, as you look globally, are you seeing property sector performance that is aligned with what is happening here in the U.S.?
So I think when we take a look at things on a global perspective, we could maybe kind of start off with regions. And first, we take a look at, you know, overall performance, calendar year performance for 2022. And if we take a look at North America, Asia, and Europe, we'll find that performance, total return performance was negative in each one of the regions. However, they did differ in magnitude, with Asia having the least negative return at a little over minus 10%. North America was roughly at minus 25%. And developed Europe was at over minus 40%. So we saw some declines, but as we take a look at performance through the first half of the year, we see that North America, we've seen returns bounce back. They were approximately roughly about 5% positive at mid-year. But then developed Asia and Europe, we saw returns maintaining negative returns, and they were at about minus 5% each. Kind of moving over to the sectors globally, the strongest performers were data centers, industrial, and self-storage. There's probably really not a lot of surprise in those sectors. But I think one of the important things to remember is that regions and sectors do not behave uniformly. And this actually provides an excellent diversification opportunity for investors.
Ed, can you describe the trends you're seeing in terms of how actively managed funds have been choosing to utilize REITs in their portfolios?
So we just completed a recent analysis, and we're taking a look at how actively managed REIT funds have shifted their allocations over time. And what we ended up seeing is that the allocations have shifted from really the traditional four property types to the modern economy sectors. And we talk about these modern sectors, you know, we're really talking about things like cell towers, data centers, healthcare, self-storage. And when we take a look at this shift, what we find is that it's very much consistent with the evolution of the REIT indices. So, you know, if we turn the clock back to 2000, we find that the four traditional property types accounted for probably over 75% of the index. And today they account for only approximately 40% of the index. So there's been a big shift. But, you know, REITs really offer an efficient, cost-effective way to access high-quality properties, best-in-class operators for both traditional and modern economy sectors. If we dig a little deeper and take a look at some of the overweights and underweights that active managers are following, we'll see that first quarter 2023 data shows that they've tended to have an overweight to sectors like residential, industrial, and data centers. And they've had an underweight to office. Now, for many, these kind of overweights, underweights aren't a surprise. But I do think that there's a few things that we should remember about office. First, you know, we're in the middle of an ongoing natural workplace experiment, and we won't know the outcome for some time. We'll likely determine that in the coming years. Second, even though employees may not be going to the office as often as they used to, employers have continued to pay rent. So operational performance has actually been quite good for office. When we look at overall performance, we also see that there's been really kind of a bifurcation in the performance of different types of properties, with newer, highly amenitized properties doing well. And we find that REITs really own a lot of these properties. And then lastly, when we take a look at REIT office total returns, we see that although they had experienced a significant decline, they have had a material bounce, and the sector is up nearly 30% since the end of May.
Great, Ed, we've covered lots of ground, but is there anything else that you'd like to highlight, perhaps, that was in the report?
Yeah, you know, I think just in closing, I think that we have to recognize that this is a rather maybe tumultuous time for real estate. And I think that REITs can really be a welcome port in the storm. You know, again, when we take a look at their operational performance, it's been solid and it's been keeping up with inflation. Their balance sheets are sound, using low leverage and unsecured fixed rate longer term debt. And this access to unsecured debt really provides them with a competitive advantage over many of their private real estate counterparts. So in closing, you know, I'd say that REITs continue to be well prepared to navigate the economic and capital market uncertainty.
Great. Ed, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.